Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. And today we're taking a look at how the pandemic has affected our romantic relationships. And boy, we heard a lot of stories from our listeners that ran the gamut. For some, the pandemic has helped strengthen your relationships and has even provided new opportunities for love.
Hello, this is Jan from Seattle in Washington. So when the pandemic started, we had been in a relationship for a year with my girlfriend, and I feel like having to spend time together and be in close proximity and spend more time together just brought us closer, and we got to learn a lot about each other. So it's been mostly positive when it comes to relationship.
This is Sally from San Francisco. I'm retired, but my husband is still working outside the home. We've been married for 18 years and are very happy, but I am so glad we are not cooped up together in our small apartment 24/7.
Hey, this is Charlie from Seattle. I stopped seeing people and I stopped having sex until October 2020, about. I then met someone online that works in an isolated environment, so it kind of worked out real well. You know, our first date, we wore masks and we walked around a park, and it was great. So, you know, after that, things just got better. But we've taken a pause from in-person visits because of how bad it's been getting. It's not so bad with distance walks or FaceTime. And hopefully vaccines will be in high enough stock when we continue things later.
For others, though, the pandemic has pushed relationships to their breaking points and has highlighted our desire for physical contact.
I'm David from Point Reyes Station, California. And has the pandemic affected my relationships? Are you kidding? I haven't hugged anybody in 7 months. Well, actually, in the last month, I took 3 bold chances. I hugged 3 different people. We faced away from each other as much as possible. Sad, but a little human contact. It's awful.
This is Julia from Clayton, California. Yes, I have no romantic life and would love a relationship, but just gave up during the pandemic. The dating sites were a complete joke. I really miss romance and intimacy, but you need to date someone long enough to like them enough and trust them to get to that point. I'm teaching online full-time and have a house full of animals, and I say my prayers at night to meet someone perfect for me someday. Thank you and have a great day.
Hi, my name is Rihanna. I'm calling from Tacoma, Washington. I am preparing to pick up my husband from the airport. He's been gone for 9 months. And we are going to drop him off at a hotel where he can quarantine for 2 weeks. And we're going to be getting virtual counseling because the pandemic has driven a wedge between us or worsened things that were already problematic in our marriage. I'm hoping that we can come out of it, but we have argued so much and seen things so differently that I'm not sure if it's going to work.
Hi, my name is Marceline Brown. I'm calling from Salt Lake City, Utah. I was just getting over a relationship when the pandemic hit. I just got the courage to start dating, and then this. The difficulty is I'm just over 50, and though I desire having a partner, I just cannot see myself taking the risk. It's just one more thing that makes me feel even lonelier and honestly just hopeless about having a partner at all.
Hey there. It's Karen from Auburn, California. Not that Karen, but the nice Karen. So just wanted to clear that up first. How's our love life? It's awful. It's non-existent. With my 17-year-old son home in online learning right now, we're with him 24/7 since March. The time ticks slowly. When you just can't abstain any longer and you got to man up and flat out tell him, we're going to be busy for a while and do not disturb. And then that's that. He knows what we're doing and it kind of takes the wind out of your sails and it's not fun anymore. But, you know, we love our son and what can you do? Anyways, send help. We're in crisis.
And for those of us that are single, the pandemic has completely upended how we think and approach dating and sex as we balance our personal safety and health with our desire for intimacy and physical touch. I'm joined now by Helen Fisher, biological anthropologist and author of Anatomy of Love and the chief scientific advisor to the dating site Match.com. Helen, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Also with us is Lex Brown James, licensed marriage and family therapist and founder of the Institute for Sexuality and Intimacy. Lex, welcome to the show.
Hi, nice to be here.
Lex, love in the time of the pandemic has been brutal. What are some ways that that you've seen things work or not work for folks? What are you hearing?
Oh, I'm hearing the same type of brutality that we just heard from so many of the amazing listeners that called in and shared. My practice has soared as far as couples either looking to reconnect and rekindle and maintain, or for couples looking to rededicate themselves to each other. So we're seeing that mental health and therapy supports are very, very high. Me and my colleagues are very, very busy trying to support folks in their relationships. So we're trying to give people grace and also build upon values of intimacy within couples and then build mutual respect.
So Lex, you're working with the people who are together, but Helen, you're a chief scientist over at Match.com who's working with people who are trying to get together, those of us out there in the dating world, in the single world. What effect is this having on dating, Helen?
Well, strangely enough, it's actually having a very good effect. I hate to say that, but it is. First of all, my data comes from studying 50,000 Americans based on the U.S. Census. So every year I poll about 5,000 Americans. We do not poll the Match members. This is a national representative study. And our last study came out just in August, and it was all about the pandemic. And as we find, what we're seeing is the rise of a new stage in the dating process. Prior to the pandemic, people were meeting on the internet. That's all the internet does is introduce you, and then going out and meeting in person. And now we see the rise of video chatting. They're meeting on the internet, then doing the video chatting, and then going out in person. And as a result, what they say is that they're spending more time getting to know somebody. They're having more meaningful conversations. They're being more self-disclosure, which does lead to intimacy. They're being more honest, more transparent, less obsessed with looks, and much more interested in finding a partner who's got a full-time job and is financially stable. So we're seeing the rise of intentional dating. People are truly looking for a partner now, and they've got a new way to do it that is actually safe. I mean, when you go out with somebody for the first time, I mean, you got to deal with sex, you got to deal with money, you got to get all dressed up. Whereas they're now using this video chatting as a way, a vetting process to decide whether they even want to go out with somebody. So we're going to see fewer first dates. They're going to be more meaningful because they already know who this person is. And we're going to see people kissing fewer frogs.
Oh, well, that's good news for single folk. Now, Lex, you're working with couples. What are some things that are keeping couples together in this moment? And what are some things that are forcing just the end of a relationship? Is it relationships that were already not so great that are just being exacerbated in this moment? Or is it the pandemic creating new problems?
So it's a both and here, right? We are seeing there was studies out of Indiana University that talked about mothering and how mothers who are now being forced back into the home full time as caregivers because of being furloughed, because of losing their jobs due to the pandemic, are reporting increased amounts of stress when those children are elementary age versus toddlers and little people who did not go to school before. Those parents haven't necessarily seen a shift. We're also seeing that some couples do have the privilege where they're given the chance to spend a lot of time together. And for those couples, if the relationship wasn't that great before, now we're starting to see those stressors start to impact the relationship effects again. And it's hard. I don't know if I really like you anymore. When you were at work, it was a little bit easier to spend these 3 or 4 hours in the evening together, but now we're spending 8 hours together and you're that person that I don't even like in email. So that's really hard. We're also seeing an increase with, of course, domestic violence and abuse. So because the world is not open and people don't have access to as many resources and policies have changed on what's open and what's accessible, it's harder to get out of relationships where those power dynamics can be destructive. On the other hand, my own practice, I've seen people rededicated to their relationships. So they're noticing like, oh, we're together all the time and we thought we'd be having sex all of the time and we finally get time to spend with one another. And some people are really leaning into that of, this is what it's like when we're not ripping and running. This is what it's like when we just get to focus on one another. We see increased touch of kissing, hugging, cuddling, being together, even if it's not direct intercourse. And that has been a real reprieve. I've even had people say, I want to stop cheating on my partner and be in this relationship fully. How do I stop doing that? So that is the positive of folks who are being forced together. Oh, I was going to say the last part of that is in that privilege of being able to be with your partner, we're also seeing folks who don't have that privilege, where their partner is still out working or they're gone for 4 or 5 days and then needing to quarantine. And they're starting to pick up some romance and intimacy because they're missing their partners. And they're like, I want to be with you. I want to talk with you. And they're starting to rekindle romance based on getting to know each other again.
Helen, a lot of the calls that we're getting, particularly for those folks who are uncoupled, are really talking about missing touch, missing sex, missing that physical intimacy. Is there a safe way to approach that now?
Well, I mean, I know that from the studies I've done with Match that about 20% of singles really, I mean, they all want to go out and start dating again. They all do. I study love. I put people in brain scanners. It's a basic brain system. It's a drive. It's a very primitive drive to love and to be loved. And something like about 20% of them still want the social distancing, still want to be very cautious about who they touch and kiss, still insist that both people wear masks. But I think what they're doing now with this video chatting is really getting to know somebody so that by the time they go out, they've already decided, I trust this person, I like this person, I'd like to go forward with this person, I know that they're safe because they've been in quarantine and so have I. And so they're working it out. And I would like to go back to one thing that Les said that's so important. You know, the fact that this lockdown has created a lot of people breaking up, but also a lot of people finding each other again and getting together. And just as an anthropologist, you know, we weren't built for 24/7. I mean, for millions of years, we lived in these little hunting and gathering groups, and both men and women went out every day, or sometimes we're out for several days hunting or gathering or seeing friends in other communities. So it does put tremendous stress on people. And just as she said, it's going to really push you to be imaginative in how you get along with somebody, get to know them better, fall back in love with them if it's a long-term partnership, or break up and find somebody new.
I want to talk a little bit about those breakups in just a minute. But Lex, let's talk about the sexual connection and romantic relationships and you know, relationships that are actually working. I mean, we heard from one of our callers, Karen, who said, frankly, she doesn't have the space to be intimate with her partner, to have sex with her husband. What do you recommend to couples who are just trying to find space for that intimacy?
Oh my goodness, yes. I completely empathize with Karen, with all of the folks. I also want to highlight teenagers are feeling this as well. So people often will dismiss teenage love or teenage connection. Also elderly folks and polyamorous folks, right? So not being able to meet with their partners. But exactly what Helen said on the sexuality end, we want people to get creative. New York City's health department came out with this whole list of COVID sex guidance, basically. And it says, maybe you're going to avoid kissing, right? When you're either first initially meeting somebody, if you're not sure about their quarantine status, we're going to possibly wear a face mask or a covering. We're going to try and do things a little bit different. Maybe we're going to make things a little kinky. So we're going to try and be creative with sexual positions. We might even use maybe physical barriers. And we've really started to tell people to spice things up. So maybe there's a sexy text message from the kitchen when somebody else is in the living room. And it's like, hey, babe, can I send you a not safe for work text message right now? And it's like, well, I'm on Zoom in front of the CEO of my company. No. However, I would love to see it later. Or please send that right now. And we're starting to increase that flirting and that teasing. So that building of arousal is throughout the day or throughout the week. And I personally am a fan favorite of scheduling intimacy. I know it sounds boring and drab, but it can really give you something to look forward to. If you know that your kid is going to go ahead and knock out at 2:30 and they're going to take a nap for 20 minutes, maybe that's when you're planning and you and your lover have that on your calendar. So we're looking for innovative ways to get it in. If your partner is home and your teenager decides to go for a ride on their bike for that physical activity that's required, that is your time. All hands on deck. Everybody get it going. And you've been building up that sensuality all throughout the day or all throughout the week or all throughout the weekend as well.
Talking about building up that sensuality, I wonder, Helen, if that is actually leading to more excitement, particularly among people who are meeting and those having sex for the first time who might feel, you know, that this is something that's illicit. This is something that, you know, we're not supposed to be in contact with others or particularly indoors with others. And so is that sort of heightening the experience, the sort of excitement slash danger perhaps around these intimate connections right now?
Well, all the data shows that, you know, very rapid stress drives up the dopamine system and can really trigger sexuality. But long-term stress tends to dampen the dopamine system and probably also the testosterone system, probably dampening your sexual drive. So I'm with Lex. Come up with something that's new, original, different. I love the fact that she said to schedule things. I've been saying that for years, and people are always so grumpy about that. I do think that it's true. And but back to the thing, you know, we are mammals. I mean, this is not going to kill our drive to make love. It's not going to kill our need for physical touch. These are basic parts of the human brain. As soon as we get this virus under control, people are going to be right back at, and I think actually they're going to have new experiences, as Les said. I mean, they're going to expand their horizons in the bedroom and also expand their ability to connect with others.
Lex, do you see that? We've got about a minute left in the segment. Do you see the future of this pandemic really affecting the future of romantic relationships going forward? Or are people just going to forget all about it once we have a vaccine?
I completely expect a baby boom once we have a vaccine. And I do think it's going to change. People are really getting to know each other quite a bit more, as Helen said earlier. So I do think it's going to change for the future and ideally for the better.
So another thing that people are going through during this pandemic are breakups. And those can be, if you want to talk about 2020 being a dumpster fire year and then adding on top of that the end of a relationship, whether it was short term or long term, and just feeling really sad about that. I mean, how do you counsel people through the end of a relationship, particularly at a time like this when it feels like the relationships that we have are so critical?
Mm-hmm. That is honestly why some people are choosing to hang on to relationships not so great for them, because they're afraid of being alone and not being able to find another person. For a couple of folks, I have definitely recommended that they turn internally to their friend circle, right? So that that friend that maybe you are lightly flirty with, maybe you talk about what that might look like to have a no strings attached or to build a flirtatious bond or exchange intimate stories with, or maybe even mutually masturbate on camera, like whatever floats your boat. And really it does come down to safety. So in a breakup, are you cohabitating? Does this mean that you potentially become housing insecure because you're breaking up, right? Who wants to look for an apartment in a house during a pandemic? So for those individuals who are losing relationships, it's one, how does this behoove you? How does this take care of yourself? Are you going to be able to be safe, meet your needs, pay whatever bills that you have? And then two, remembering that we're not vacuums. We don't exist just solely by ourselves. And it might look to what are some of those relationships that might have fallen by the wayside that I need to rekindle to start to build up some community and support.
You're talking about non-romantic relationships, right? In that rekindling,
right?
Like folks that maybe, you know, you hadn't been in touch with for a while.
Right. Or some of those things where you might have had that slight flirtation, but you chose to go a different direction. So it's definitely okay to circle back to be like, hey, you know, I remember us meeting at the grocery store and I was really interested, but I was tied up at the time and I'm actually not tied up anymore. Are you still single dating? What's your situation? And taking some of that slightly risky initiative. And if they reject you, just being sure that it's not about you personally, it's really about them taking care of themselves and them setting their own boundaries. And saying, like, thank you for taking care of yourself. I appreciate you letting me know. And I'm around if anything changes.
That's really evolved, Lex, in many ways, because I've asked two friends of mine who are out dating and have been dating during the pandemic how it's going. And one of them said something that stood with me. She said, it's going just the way it was going before the pandemic. You know, people are still kind of flaky and there's still sort of, you know, this uncertainty for a lot of folks. And so I think it's really powerful, the advice that you're giving people to still take a chance anyway, because I thought things would get better. I thought, you know, people would start taking things much more seriously and saying, this is really, you know, a critical time. And it seems like friends of mine are saying, not so much.
Oh, yeah. We have to hold hope. I think that's part of what I get to do in my own practice is hold hope for others. But as singles, what I'm finding is people are really, as we talked with Helen before, they're really putting themselves out there on apps. They're swiping on people they might not have swiped on before the pandemic. And so with that being more open, you're going to have more positive hits than you will have dismisses. And that's part of the risk in it of really putting yourself out there. And that's where we're seeing the vulnerability. And from that vulnerability comes intimacy and closeness.
Well, I think that's wonderful advice, and I really appreciate you for it. I have to say, it was very inspiring. I'm now following you on Twitter, and very excited. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Not a problem. Thank you. I will definitely be your wing woman when you need it. Let me know.
Thank you, Lex. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Take care. Have a great rest of your day.
Lex Brown James is a licensed marriage and family therapist and founder of the Institute for Sexuality and Intimacy. And Helen Fisher is a biological anthropologist, senior research fellow at the Kinsey Institute, and chief scientific advisor to the dating site Match.com. Helen and Lex, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Mary from Brooklyn. We've been together for 15 years, but not married, and the pandemic has caused us to talk all the time about our future and how secure we are. It has also, however, reinforced my feeling that we are solid as a partnership. We spend basically all day, every day, working and living together now that we're both working from home, and we just fit. Real friendship and shared interests seem more than ever to be key. It's very sweet if it weren't for the anxiety of being in pandemic purgatory.
Hello, this is Steve calling from West Orange. And the answer is, Lord, yes. Continuing a developing relationship requires a whole series of compromises and often real-world disconnects to make the more cautious partner comfortable. But this is the nature of relationships.
Hi, this is Mark Mannheimer. I'm calling from Bradford, Massachusetts. What our current reality has shown me is that I really would like to have someone in my life and be willing to be more vulnerable soon. I hope.
This is The Takeaway. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE to comment on any story or give us your thoughts on any topic. Also, we're on Facebook and Twitter at The Takeaway. Let us know what you think, and thanks for listening.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.